Okay, well, let me pray first. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you, God, for your word, Father, that your word is unchanging, God, and that when we look into your word, you minister to us, and you speak to us, God, and you just, you comfort us, and you show us the way, God, and we thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me now, God, and that you would just touch these women. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this morning we are moving on in Peter. We're at 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 12. So I'm going to just read that first and then we'll get started. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Well, one of the first things I started thinking about when I was looking through these scriptures was how he talks about the end of your faith and the salvation of your soul. And that made me think of a map, you know, how, you know, we use a map to try and figure out, you know, how we're going to get from one place, you know, to the next place. And, you know, we need the map so that we can find our destination. We can find the end place. And I know that when I go on a road trip, I'm always the one sitting with the map, you know, my husband's driving. And so I'm constantly referring back to the map because I want to know, like, you know, okay, this is where I'm at, this is where we were, and this is where we're going to. And then I'm always looking, where are we looking? Where we're going to. We're constantly looking forward, where are we going to? And, you know, how long is it going to take to get there and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, but so the map, you know, maybe just think about what is our destination, you know? Our destination is heaven. And the road that we're on is kind of is the road of salvation. So, you know, there's not a lot of traffic on that road, really. And the road takes us on a journey, and there's all kinds of places on that road. And sometimes we are on mountaintops, and everything is spectacular. And sometimes we're in a valley where it's not very pretty. And sometimes we can be, you know, lead us to a forest where there's stillness and we can hear God clearly. And sometimes we're in a desert where it's dry and it's uncomfortable. But always our destination is heaven. And these verses reminded me of that because he's encouraging us to look at the end of our faith and the ultimate salvation of our souls and our inheritance, which he says is kept in heaven for us. And Peter, he was encouraging the church to keep focus on the future and the glory that was going to be shown at the time of the revelation of Jesus. So I'm going to reread 1 Peter verses 6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, last week, Nicole shared a lot about the Christians of the early church, and how they were persecuted by Roman rule, and they were, you know, tortured, fed to the lions. They were entertainment for the Romans in the Colosseums. And, I mean, just imagine how those Christians felt, very often meeting in secret. They lived with fear and worry, you know, every day. And, you know, they, can you imagine that every time they would go to church, they would wonder if they were going to see Joanne again? You know, am I going to see Hattie again? And every time that they would come together, you know, they probably just had such great joy to know that their brothers and sisters were safe. And so these Christians really needed to hold on to their faith, and they needed a lot of encouragement. They needed to know that their faith in Jesus was real and that it was worth all the trials that they faced, you know, just trials because they were believers, not just necessarily the trials that they would have every day in their lives. So, too, we need the encouragement to keep steadfast in our faith. And that's what these passages are going to do. They're going to show us the value of our faith. You know, the world likes to make fun of us as Christians. They often like to poke at us and at our faith. They want to ridicule us and chide us. But I think secretly they're really afraid of us. And they're perplexed by us. And I think also that they wish that they could have faith like we have. And, you know, I know that my faith is the most important thing, the most important belief that I hold on to. It's the plumb line by which I see the whole world. And what I believe in, it shapes how I think and how I feel and what I do. And throughout this book, Peter's instructions all hinge on the faith of these believers. If they don't believe that their trials are going to result in eternal glory, they may falter. Here in verse 6, Peter tells them that for a little while they will be grieved by trials. And he says, if need be. And I stopped there when I read it because none of us on our own really feel like we need to be in a trial, right? Right. And in chapter 4, in verse 12, he tells them, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knows that trials are the things that we need to cause us to grow in our walk with him. Left on our own, there's not much to be glad about. And certainly, when I first came to the Lord, there was nothing that would glorify God in my life. There's no other thing that will cause us to grow like a trial. I must need a lot of growth because all I can say is I've been through lots of trials. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So sometimes we need the trials, and we need to see them in the scope of eternity. They're just a wrinkle in time. They feels like it takes forever, but really it's not. They are here today, and they really last for just a moment. So we're going to talk a little more about trials. We all have them, and just because we're believers, we're not going to live a life free of them, right? Because the scripture says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and we can't do a whole lot to avoid them. Now, you know, I just wanted to kind of clarify, you know, there's a difference between suffering because you've sinned and suffering from harm that's been done to you. And either way, none of us want to suffer. And if you're hurting because of your own sin, then I'm, you know, I don't want you to feel condemned. It's not for that. But just, you know, turn to your sin, turn away from your sin and seek God's grace and forgiveness. Accept your consequence and then move forward, because with God's help, you'll be renewed and strengthened to persevere. But Peter here is talking about the trials that come about not from our own making. He says here that the purpose is so that our faith will be found genuine and that it will bring praise, honor, and glory to God at the revelation of Jesus. For our faith to be found genuine or real, it must endure. Therefore, we must endure through times of suffering and trial. And can I just say that if you're not going through a trial right now, well, then you can just praise God for that. But can you take these truths today and just minister them to somebody else who's going through a trial? You know, don't let somebody go through their fire without reaching out to them. And it will make a difference to them. And, I can speak from experience on that one. You know, reach out. Send somebody a note. Give them a hug. Pray for them. Tell them that you're praying for them. I know that was so, it endeared me to people so much when people would tell me they were praying for me. I'd come home and people would still say, I'm praying for you. I'd have 6 months later, people would say, I'm praying for you. I'm still praying for you. And it's like, oh, you know, it brought joy to my heart to think that people would be taking me before the throne of God. That is an honor. So be sure that you take others before the throne of God when they're suffering and they're in their trials. So today we're going to be looking at how we can endure the trials. First, we're going to consider that we're not alone. Second, we're going to remember that our trials serve a purpose. And third, we'll be reminded to look ahead to the finish line. So let's consider that you are not alone. When you're going through the fiery trial, remember that you are not alone, right? Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when King Nebuchadnezzar put them in that fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down before the idol before them. And you can find that story in Daniel chapter 3. And when they were putting these guys into the fire, the furnace, the men who were throwing them in died because it was so hot, right? But yet King Nebuchadnezzar himself, when he looked into the furnace, he could see that there were four men there. And he said one of them looked like the Son of God. And that's because that was Jesus right there in that furnace with them. They were not alone. Jesus has told us he will never leave us or forsake us. And when you're in the heat of the fire, Jesus is right there with you. Let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27:5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Now, you know, right there it just says that, you know, he hides us when we are in a trial. That, you know, we are safe, right? Because what do you, you know, you hide something that you want to keep away from harm or from somebody stealing them, right? So he's hiding us in that special place. Psalm 91, I want to turn over there real quick, because I love Psalm 91. This is one of my favorite psalms. I love this one. I'm going to read through verse 6. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. When you abide with the Lord, he will be your protector. Your faith in his abilities and resting in the promises of his word is what will get you through the tough times. You know, you're not going to get by without pain. So many of us, we want to avoid the pain, and that's pretty much impossible. But you will be able to receive his peace. Now, I'm going to skip to verse 14 here. He says, this is the Lord speaking to us here. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He has the saving power, the power to give us salvation from our old life and our sins, and the power to be with us in our times of trouble. When I was in the hospital last summer, I'm not going to go into any details for you who don't know, but I was very sick last summer, and I had my own brush with death. So, you know, I had a lot of tough times and a lot of dark days. And the day I remember the most, though, was the day that I left Mexico. And that was, you know, like you have the anniversary, so July 10th is always my big anniversary because, you know, that was a really big day. And I was all alone that day. I mean, I didn't have my husband with me that day. And yet the Lord was with me that day because that was the day that I spoke up for myself. And I challenged those in authority over me, you know. And I'm not somebody who really likes to pick a fight with people or do that. That's not my nature. But the Lord was with me, you know, giving me strength through that. And, you know, he was with me when I, you know, entered the next emergency room. And, you know, he gave me peace. And, you know, they told me, oh, you do another surgery. And it was like, okay. You know, and I had complete peace. I'll never forget that. I mean, those are those things that nobody wants to do, nobody wants to hear, you know. And yet I was all alone, but I wasn't alone, you know, because he was with me. And in Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. And, you know, when I read that, it was like, okay, I found my little life verse there. You know? Mm-hmm. We're not alone, and that's because we have the Holy Spirit with us. Jesus promised us the Spirit in John 14. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He goes on to say, for he dwells with you and will be with you. We have the Spirit of truth with us always. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so how can we ever think that we're alone? I just want to zig a little bit. I want to go to Ephesians 1, verse 11. See here. Okay. This scripture, it just kind of adds on to what Peter is telling us about with our inheritance. Because, you know, last week we looked a little bit at our inheritance. It kind of ties it together here. In him we have obtained an inheritance. I'm going to skip here. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So this passage is telling us that the Holy Spirit, who sealed us upon receiving Jesus as our Savior, is the guarantee of our inheritance. And this is what Peter was reminding us about, so that we would have hope. The Spirit is with us in our time of trouble. He reminds us that we have this inheritance that awaits us in heaven, and that we have the Spirit with us till Jesus redeems us. It's, you know, that guarantee. It's like you go to the store and you purchase something, and then you know that it's going to be good, or, you know, you can get your money back, or you can get a new one because you have that guarantee. And that's, you know, what our guarantee is, what reminds us of our hope that's in the future, that we have heaven to look forward to. And, you know, we can use our guarantee and we can rebuke the enemy and say, no, you know, I don't have to believe the lies that you're telling me about why I'm struggling, or how this is so hard, or I'm not going to make it through this trial, or any of those things, because I have my guarantee that I have the Lord, and that I have heaven waiting for me in the future. No matter what happens to me, no matter how hard this is, I might die, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to heaven, right? I had a day like that where I had to rebuke the enemy when I was in the hospital. And, you know, I was really drugged up. It was very hard to think clearly. And it was the day after the ladies came down to visit me. And, you know, it's just a hard day. And they left me a sign, and it, yes, I'm telling you, that sign got me through so much. I didn't plan on crying, gosh. But they left me a sign that said, Jesus loves you. Nicole had written it, and it was all in capital letters, you know, and it sat there at the foot of my bed. And I loved it because it was like everybody who came into my room, everybody who helped me could know that I was a believer and I had Jesus on my side, you know. But, you know, so I had that one day where it was dark, dark, dark day. And the enemy just, he was out for me. And it was, of course, the day after the ladies came, you know, which would be, yeah, figures. You know, you have this really great, got to see all my girlfriends, and they were singing and we were praying. It was a really sweet time. Anyways, but I would just look at that sign that said, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And the only scripture I could come up with was, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. And, you know, don't you think that he was with me that day? And, you know, that was me holding up my guarantee. Right? I was showing it to the enemy. And I just kept saying, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It was like, okay, leave me alone. Leave me alone, you know? So, we need to cling to that promise from God. Okay, so let's move on to point number two, that our trials serve a purpose. James 1:2 states, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the trials serve to sanctify us. They grow us. They change us. You know, I was thinking about when somebody breaks a bone. You know, they say that wherever the bone heals, that it's stronger at that point than it was before it was broken. And so wherever in our lives, you know, that we're broken, those are areas that become stronger for us. And just another personal example, my son, he's like the perfect example to me of that truth. You know, he was born and he was sick and he had surgery, and It was tough. It was a tough few years when his first couple years were really hard. And I just think, you know, that Jacob bone that I have in my body has become really strong because It has been tested, and the trials have come, and it's been broken. Trust me, it's hurt, and it's been painful. But now, you know, I know that his future is uncertain. I mean, all our futures are uncertain, you know. But, you know, he has conditions that, you know, genetic conditions that are going to be with him forever. And we may see things that we don't want to see, you know, with him in the future. We may not, but chances are, you know, we're going to see a lot of more bad things happen in the future. But, you know, it's like I know it's that bone has been tested and that my faith in God does not change just because something, you know, goes on with him. You know, this last summer he was in the hospital again, and it was like I could just quickly go before the Lord and just say, okay, Lord, he's yours. I've given to him. He's yours again. Whatever happens is what happens. You know, Lord, let him keep him from having to have surgery. But if it happens, I know that I can trust you, you know. And so that's part of it, you know, that just that when you have those trials, maybe in a particular area that you endure over and over again, you know, God will strengthen you in those areas so that you can have peace and you can walk through it and just know that no matter what God has planned, that it's going to be okay. So, So the scripture says here that our faith is going to bring praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. And, you know, that's pretty remarkable when you think that something that you have, even though God gives it to you, but that's going to bring him glory at his revelation. I mean, he's going to be glorious anyhow. But we all get to stand, you know, beside him with our faith and that glory, show that glory with him. And, you know, Pastor Steve has been teaching on this, the revelation of Jesus, and I'm so glad because I don't want to have to explain it. But, you know, this is what Peter is referring to here, that time, that's that place in time. And on that day, you know, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's the day that the whole world will see your faith. Romans 2 talks about that day of judgment. In verse 6, it says that God will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life, to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, they'll receive indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Two lines that we stand in, right? You know, the line, eternal life, and punishment and eternal damnation. And we need to keep our faith. It's our faith is what keeps us on that line of eternal life. We need to stand in that line, you know, and we're going to have our story all printed out with us, you know, our story of faith as we stand in that line. You know, your story might say, you know, I went through this trial and I still believed. I went through that trial and you brought me back to life. I went through this suffering and God, you healed me. I lost this person in my life, but I could stand and say, God, your grace was sufficient for me. This is what brings glory to God. Back to 1 Peter, it says here in verse 8, it says here, whom having seen, not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. You know, we've not had the benefit of seeing God firsthand or face to face, but one day we will. And we need to walk by faith, right? Not by what we see. And I want to give you a list of what your faith gives you. These are things that I found in Scripture, and they're the ingredients of your faith. And if you want the scripture references, you need to let me know, and I'll get them to you later, because it takes too long to give them to you. But these are just kind of snippets here, and they're in no particular order. Your faith gives you forgiveness. It saves you. It heals you of your diseases. It heals others. It can move mountains. Your faith calms fears. It strengthens you, gives you a sound mind. It allows you to access God's power. This long. I'll have to copy it for you. It purifies your heart. It increases the kingdom of God. Your faith sanctifies you. It reveals the righteousness of God to others. Your faith justifies you. Your faith is counted as righteousness. It gives you access to God's grace. We're able to stand before God because of our faith. It allows us to be obedient, steadfast. We walk by our faith. It allows us to receive the Spirit. We are blessed by it. Excuse me. By our faith, we are called the daughters of God. We produce fruit with it. We have boldness because of it. Christ dwells in our hearts because of it. We can quench the fiery darts of the enemy with it. We are established and abound by it. We are raised from the dead because of it. It comforts others. We are kept safe by it. We can have a pure conscience because of it. We are wise to salvation. We have fellowship with others. We inherit the promises of God. We gain understanding, and we are able to offer sacrifices to God because of our faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That last one is Hebrews 11:6. So can you see that your faith, just standing alone by itself, brings glory to God? And faith that is steadfast through the trials has a purpose. That whole list there, it all becomes refined, right, in the fire of trial. It becomes pure, shinier. It glows more. And it becomes a testimony to God and his faithfulness that brings you through the trials. Our faith is what gives us the victory. 1 John 5:4 says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." All right, so the last point here, we're going to look ahead at the finish line. Let's go back to 1 Peter verse 9. Okay, I'm going to read here from the New Living Translation. It's just a little easier grammar-wise because there's a whole lot of commas in there. And, you know, so you'll get the point of what Peter's trying to say. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The salvation was something the prophets wanted to know more about. They prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you, even though they had many questions as to what it all could mean. They wondered what the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's sufferings and his great glory afterward. They wondered when and to whom all this would happen. They were told that these things would not happen during their lifetime, but many years later, during yours. And now this good news has been announced by those who preach to you in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So these passages, they ultimately help serve as a contrast for us. The prophets of old didn't have Christ, but they were looking forward in the future for him. They were searching the scriptures, and their faith was based on what was to come, right? They were looking for the Messiah. But now we have the Messiah. They had the Messiah at this time, and we have Christ. And we not only have what was, you know, what was, what happened 2,000 years ago, but we have even more scripture to look to, right? More prophecy that tells us what's coming next. And we're fortunate because we have even more evidence that supports our faith. And so I want to use this idea of looking at the past to encourage us today and to encourages us into the future. And we're going to briefly look at Hebrews 11. And at Hebrews 11 is where we find that hall of fame, you know, of faith. Faith's hall of fame. So like the prophets whom Peter was talking about, most of these Hall of Famers, they only had the promise of Abraham and the gift of faith that God had given to Abraham. Genesis 15:6 says, "And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him as righteousness." So just Abraham's faith alone gave him righteousness. Hebrews 11:12 says of Abraham and his descendants, "Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country." That's verse 16. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They were like the prophets who were revealed." So these Hall of Famers, these believers he was talking about here, they were like the prophets who were revealed in the prophecies of Christ. They are like the members of the early church and are like the believers who came to found our nation. And they are like those of faith today. We all declare that we were strangers and we were pilgrims on this earth, and that we all desire a heavenly country. So they were looking forward, and that's what this is talking about, us always looking forward to our destination of heaven. This is what Peter is saying in the verses that we've been looking at. We're looking forward. We're looking to our heavenly inheritance. This is what will give us the strength to persevere with joy as we move further towards the salvation of our souls. I wish I could read all of Hebrews 11 to you, but I just don't have the time. But when I read that, that's when I was encouraged, because I was just thinking about, you know, what did they have? They didn't even have Jesus yet, right? But yet they stood fast through their trials, just looking forward, knowing that one day the Messiah was going to come, knowing that they had God, they could trust in him, right, to get them through their trials, and that one day they had an eternal reward if they held on to that righteousness that was theirs by faith, the way Abraham had his faith. So I just want to talk about, you know, I'm sure most of you watched the Olympics, right? And there are so all the races that go on. And, you know, Michael Phelps, you know, awesome, awesome achievement. And I was thinking about that that race, remember that photo finish race? He had so many races. But that photo finish race, was it the Frenchman? Was it the French guy? Where it just looked like the French guy was going to get it, you know? But he was coasting, you know, to reach that finish line. And yet Michael Phelps, they said, he took another half stroke. Not just a stroke, half a stroke, you know? And it's like, you know, that is such an awesome picture because, you know, we want to run a good race and we want a race that looks good all the way through. But almost more importantly than that, it's like, you know, we need to make it to the end, right? Because what good is a race if we don't finish it, right? And so we want to have that photo finish at the end, even if it might be that half a stroke, you know, that pushes us all the way to the end. Because if we don't have our faith in the end, it's, you know, we don't have heaven, right? Hebrews 10:35 says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence." And that word confidence means evidence. And these could be all the things that the Lord has, you know, brought you through before. That's your evidence that you have, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry. And that's the Lord. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. So we don't want to go backwards, right? And I know, you know, Susie has been sharing that with us and Debbie when she was here, that there's no coasting in our faith, right? We're going to either move forward or we're going to move back. And, you know, that guy in that race, he was kind of, I mean, he was giving all he got. I mean, he couldn't have placed second for nothing. But in the end, he just kind of coasted there, you know. And yet it was Phelps who took that half a stroke. So our faith, it's our faith that energizes us to take that half stroke there and make it to the finish line. And that's where we're going to find the Lord pleased with us. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." All of our spiritual forefathers, they're watching us. They're cheering us on in the stands. And in that cloud of witnesses, there's other believers that we know, you know, and that have lost, that we've lost, and they're standing there cheering us, you know, through this race and cheering us on to the finish line. And they want to see our photo finish as we battle the world and the enemy and our flesh. And we need to lay aside those dead weights, right, so that we can run faster. Lay aside the doubt and the fear, anxiety, anger, bitterness, depression, worry, stress, confusion, sin. They're all weights that we can carry around. And, you know, again, Michael Phelps, he didn't jump in that pool with the weights on, right? What would happen if he was carrying a bunch of 100-pound weights, you know? He's not Chuck Norris. He's going to drown, you know? Anyhow, seriously, if we continue to carry these weights around, we're going to drown, and we won't make it to the finish line. So, you know, we need to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. It's Hebrews 12:2. And I love this line of scripture because, you know, Jesus, he's the one. And, you know, he's the author. He's the one who wrote our faith. And it's his creation. And so just think of that, you know, your individual faith written by Jesus. And because he wrote it, he knows the beginning and the middle and the end. But you can know the end because He is the finisher of our faith. He's going to be there at the end, getting us to the finish line. And that should give us great confidence in Jesus to know that. So today I just want to encourage you to remain steadfast in the Lord, to finish your journey, you know, on your roadmap, that you're on that journey with Him, right? And whether you're in the valley or you're on the mountaintop or you're somewhere in between, He's with you and He will keep you until you reach your destination, which is with Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this truth, God. Lord, we thank You that You are going to see us through to the end, God, that You are waiting there for us at the finish line, and You are the one there at the end, just beckoning us on, Lord, cheering us on, Lord. Father, I pray that You would strengthen the faith of all these ladies, God. Lord, whatever they're going through, whatever trial they're in now, whatever trials are to come, God, that they would cling to their faith, God, and just continue to make that choice, God, to believe in You and Your promises and Your love that You have for them, God. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to continue on in our faith, Father, so that we can just cross that finish line and meet You there, Lord. Father, I pray You would be with us today, God, and that You would continue to be the glory in our lives, God. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.